I'm VOA's Jeff Custer with this worldwide news update. A top U.S. diplomat is in Beirut, where he's meeting with Lebanese officials about a possible ceasefire agreement, reportedly approved by Hezbollah, that would end fighting between Israel and the Iran-backed militant group. Associated Press correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
Amos Hochstein, a senior advisor to President Joe Biden, arrived Tuesday, a day after Hezbollah reportedly gave a positive response to a U.S. draft proposal to end the war, which has been ongoing for more than 13 months. The U.S. has been working on a proposal to end hostilities that would remove Israeli ground forces from Lebanon and push Hezbollah forces away from the Israeli border. More Lebanese troops and UN peacekeepers would be sent to the buffer zone in southern Lebanon as part of the deal. Hochstein's main meeting will be with Lebanon Parliament Speaker, a Hezbollah ally who's mediating for the militants. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Just days after U.S. President Joe Biden's decision to let Ukraine strike targets inside Russia with U.S.-supplied longer-range missiles, Russian President Vladimir Putin Tuesday signed a revised declaration that lowers the threshold for Moscow to use nuclear weapons. VOA's Richard Green reports.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has signed a revised nuclear doctrine declaring that a conventional attack on Russia by any nation that is supported by a nuclear power will be considered a joint attack on his country. Putin's endorsement of the new nuclear deterrent policy comes 1,000 days after he sent troops into Ukraine on February 24, 2022. The signing of the doctrine, which says that any massive aerial attack on Russia could trigger a nuclear response, reflects Putin's readiness to threaten use of the country's nuclear arsenal to force the West to back down as Moscow presses a slow-moving offensive in Ukraine. Richard Green, VOA News.
This is VOA News. NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte marked 1,000 days of the Russian-Ukraine conflict by calling for more support for embattled Ukraine. Speaking to reporters in Brussels as he arrived for a meeting of European Union foreign ministers, Rutte said as Russia has drawn on help from its allies, allies of Ukraine now more than ever cannot back down.
So today we'll discuss how we can help Ukraine to prevail. That means more aid, more money, we have to make available to them, particularly now that the North Koreans have come on board. And we know that China is helping Russia with the war effort. We know that Iran is supporting Russia with the war effort.
Thousands of Ukrainian citizens have died. Over 6 million live as refugees abroad, and the population has fallen by a quarter since Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered the invasion, Europe's biggest conflict since World War II. Hong Kong's High Court Tuesday sentenced 45 pro-democracy activists to up to 10 years in jail under subversion charges, marking an end to the largest national security case in Hong Kong under a sweeping law imposed by Beijing. The defendants were accused of conspiracy to commit subversion for taking part in an unofficial primary election aimed at selecting opposition candidates to run in the 2020 Legislative Council election. Authorities claim the activists were planning to paralyze the Hong Kong government and force the city's leader to resign by aiming to win a legislative majority and use that to block government budgets. Hong Kong Security Secretary Chris Tang defended the sentencing to reporters Tuesday, saying the sentences reflected the spirit of the rule of law in Hong Kong.
If anyone commit offense, be it national security offense or other offenses, there is sufficient evidence and then we will prosecute. And in fact, national security is one of the major safeguarding the prosperity of Hong Kong, and this is a very serious matter of Hong Kong.
Observers said the crackdown has significantly stifled Hong Kong's pro-democracy movement. The more than 2 million U.S. civilian federal employees are facing a new era of uncertainty amid promises from President-elect Donald Trump and billionaire Elon Musk to slash government employees and cut costs. Trump has tasked Musk and former presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy to head a non-governmental panel to streamline the U.S. government and is expected to revive a plan to convert some federal employees to what would be known as Schedule F status, which strips them of job protections. Musk has said he could cut $2 trillion in spending, more than the annual U.S. discretionary budget. National Federation of Federal Employees Executive Director Steve Lenkhart told the Reuters News Service the term job protections regarding civil servants is misleading.
There are actually systematic protections to keep everyone honest and transparent and accountable. Schedule F erases those, so the employees would be ripe for intimidation and threats.
That wraps up this news update, but the world and the news never stop. For additional updates, visit our website. I'm Jeff Custer, VOA News.